This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Orchow.
The long simmering feud causing a fissure in the state Republican Party is now in court this week. Christina Caramo was recently ousted from her position as chair of the Michigan GOP, and the National Party has named Pete Hoekstra as the new chair. But Caramo and her supporters are not taking the removal lying down.
So Christina Caramo is trying to fight this and losing so far. She tried to insist she was still the rightful chair of the Michigan Republican Party, but the National Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, says they're recognizing Pete Hoekstra as the chair. And now this is all playing out in the Kent County Circuit Court, where Hoekstra's allies are asking for a judge to rule that Caramo was properly removed under state party bylaws. Caramo is insisting that the breakaway faction did not comply with party bylaws. Though she suffered a setback early this week, her motion to dismiss the case was rejected by the judge. And now the question is, will Hoekstra's allies get a preliminary injunction that says Christina Caramo is no longer the party chair? If that happens, she has indicated she will concede and step aside.
We're really in this sort of waiting game. And for some Republicans, like Oakland County Chair Vance Patrick, a ruling really can't come fast enough.
The donor class right now has retracted because Christina is just unfortunately not focused on running on raising funds. Pete Hoekstra is you mentioned I threw my hat in the race for chair. Got third place, and everybody came up and said, "Vance, you're kingmaker now. You're kingmaker." I'm like, "What? Oh, so I got to throw my votes behind either Lena Epstein or Pete Hoekstra." So my team did get a call from Mar-a-Lago, and I said that in my speech to throw my votes behind Pete. They said, "Throw your votes behind Pete." So we did that, and Pete and I have talked every single day since he was elected. Christine and I have probably talked three times since she was elected. She was upset that I had Donald Trump here. In June last year, I had 3,000 people for a dinner at Suburban. And I think she was just mad that I got Trump and she didn't. And you shouldn't be upset that Trump is coming to Oakland County. You should be excited that Trump's coming to Michigan. That event put $300,000 in my bank account. That's what we've been living off of. In addition to having different fundraisers to not eat away at it. But again, I've got two paid staff. We've got rent at our nice office right on Woodward. It's expensive to be in this business, and you need to raise money. And unfortunately, Christine is not raising money.
Time really is an issue here because there's a convention coming up, isn't there, Zach?
That's right. On March 2nd, precinct delegates, the most grassroots party activists there are going to gather at the Michigan Republican State Convention in Detroit. We think that's the one Christina Caramo noticed some time ago, and they're going to choose the bulk of the party's presidential nominating delegates to the Republican National Convention later this year. However, Pete Hoekstra has said he's convening a convention in Grand Rapids. And so now all of these precinct delegates who were elected about a week ago at county conventions to be delegates to the state convention have to decide, are we going to Grand Rapids or are we going to Detroit? And one could surmise, though we don't know this for sure, that because the Republican National Committee has recognized Pete Hoekstra as the legitimate chair of the party, and this involves delegates to a national convention that the national party runs and oversees, that his convention in Grand Rapids will likely be deemed the official convention. But, you know, all of these local delegates, they're going to have to decide, where are we going? And it's going to be a heck of a mess if the court doesn't issue a ruling before March 2nd.
It's a real Game of Thrones situation going on here in Michigan.
Sorry, you threw me up. That was a good one.
Well, let's get into our full conversation with Vance Patrick. That's coming up right after this break.
Hi. Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Orchow.
And we are now joined by Vance Patrick, chairman of the Oakland County Republican Party. Vance, welcome to Mishmash.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate you having me on.
So let's start with the thing that's on everybody's mind who follows GOP politics in Michigan, which is the Christina Caramo question. You have been vocal in your opposition against Christina Caramo leading the Michigan GOP. You called for her ouster back in December. Let's start by having you walk us through your concerns about her leadership.
Well, first of all, when Christina was running for Secretary of State, everybody was behind her. We were excited that she got that she won the primary, and everybody worked and dropped and promoted her and had her at a different events all over town. And then when she lost that race, she decided to run for chair of MIGOP. I didn't vote for her, but she's still a friend of mine. She literally lives 5 miles away. And she's been to my house many, many times when I was running for Congress in 2020. So it's nothing personal. But when she won the state party chair, she's our girl. So let's get behind her. Well, unfortunately, a good CEO, if you've got a CEO of a corporation and they're not producing, do the shareholders keep that CEO in? No, they look to remove her in. I heard this one, the radio station said this, if you're fishing, and he said, everybody can understand this. Let's say you're fishing on a dock and you're not catching any fish. Do you keep fishing on the same spot or do you move to the other end of the dock? That's what happened. We're all the people, all the Republicans in Michigan are just like, you know what? We got to move. Unfortunately, she's had zero efforts with fundraising. The Mackinac conference that we have in the fall was disastrous. You don't pay $110,000 for a speaker, and it's just been there's no money in the bank. And Oakland County has had to hire more staff to accommodate the lack of staff from the Michigan Republican Party. They should have 100 people on the ground right now doing door knocking or getting these campaigns set up or setting up field offices. And unfortunately, they don't have it. So we hired a field coordinator, and he's knocking 1,500 doors a week. So that's what it's going to take to help get our Republican candidates over the finish line this year. Unfortunately, no help from state party.
So as you know, the Republican National Committee has recognized that Pete Hoekstra is the legitimate chair of the party. And you yourself were running during this process to see if there would be a new chair elected. But you ultimately did decide to get behind Pete Hoekstra as the chair. If he does become the chair, if the courts, which are meeting this week on this very subject, do decide that Christina Caramo was properly removed under Michigan Republican Party bylaws, how do you feel about him leading the party forward? What do you think will be different than with Christina Caramo in charge?
Well, a sense of stability. The donor class right now has retracted because Christina is just unfortunately not focused on running on raising funds. Pete Hoekstra is So you mentioned I threw my hat in the race for chair, got third place, and everybody came up and said, Vance, you're kingmaker now. You're kingmaker. I'm like, what? Oh, so I got to throw my votes behind either Lena Epstein or Pete Hoekstra. So my team did get a call from Mar-a-Lago, and I said that in my speech to throw my votes behind Pete. They said, throw your votes behind Pete. So we did that. And Pete and I have talked every single day since he was elected. Christine and I have probably talked 3 times since she was elected. The largest county in the state, granted, Wayne County's bigger, but Wayne County's cut up. So Oakland County is the largest county in the state. And we don't communicate. She was upset that I had Donald Trump here in June last year. I had 3,000 people for a dinner at Suburban, and I think she was just mad that I got Trump and she didn't. And you shouldn't be upset that Trump is coming to Oakland County. You should be excited that Trump's coming to Michigan. That event put $300,000 in my bank account. That's what we've been living off of, in addition to having different fundraisers to not eat away at it. But again, I've got two paid staff. We've got rent at our nice office right on Woodward. It's expensive to be in this business, and you need to raise money. And unfortunately, Christine is not raising money.
The shakeup with the GOP party leadership has caused, I think it's fair to say, a lot of drama, a lot of chaos. Are you concerned at all that what's going on within the party leadership is going to distract from the 2024 election and getting those candidates elected?
You know what, Shana, that's a great question. But, you know, I was just at the rally on Saturday, and that is the one thing that will unite everybody in Michigan. It doesn't matter who, whether it's Christina Caramo or Pete Hoekstra, everybody knows they need to work to get Donald Trump over the finish line. That's the only thing that's uniting us. So exactly, until this thing gets solved, there is going to be, well, just coming up March 2nd, we've got two conventions. Are we going to go to the Detroit convention that Christina's holding, or do you go to the Grand Rapids convention that Pete's holding? Pete was on the radio this morning saying that, hey, I've been recognized as a chair from the RNC. The courts yesterday said that they were not going to hear Christina Caramo's motion to throw out the case. So they're hearing the case today. So it's pretty close to, I mean, the state committee said she was removed. The RNC recognized that that was a legitimate meeting and she was removed. Donald Trump recognizes her. So, I mean, four strikes and you're out, or five, or how many strikes until this we finally put this to bed?
The pendulum always seems to swing quite far in Michigan politics. 10 years ago, the Republicans were in control of basically everything in state government, and the Democrats were in a bad way. They had less than a third of the Senate membership in the state Senate. But now here we are 10 years later, and the Democrats are in control of everything. The Republicans aren't in quite as desperate a situation in terms of numbers in the legislature, but they are the minority. What do you see as the future for Michigan Republicans? What is the path back to power, be it in state government or trying to win the state for President Trump, or trying to win a U.S. Senate race here for the first time in 30 years?
Well, let's start with the Senate race. We've got a lot of great candidates right now, and I know they're crisscrossing the state. We've had Oakland County Republican Party had, I think we had 8 of them at our breakfast that we had near our office a couple weeks ago. And they all spoke, and everybody says, wow, I'd like to have just a piece of each one of them. Well, that's not exactly how it works. But I'll tell you what, we've got some great candidates. They're doing a great job. For a congressional candidate, Tom Barrett's a nice seat right now, too. So first of all, Oakland County has 6 congressional seats or 6 congressional districts that cuts up Oakland County. So it's kind of insane. The 11th is literally all in Oakland County. But anyway, so Tom Barrett's another one that we're going to help out. That's that uncontested seat right now. It's going to be pretty close on that one. I think he's going to be able to get it this time. He's got name recognition in the district. And I know the federal government's going to be helping him out, you know, putting some, not the federal government, but the RNC is going to put some money behind him to help him get over the finish line. Local, statewide, local state politics, I think it's just a matter of our candidates getting out there and meeting their neighbors, meeting the people in their district. We've got some swing districts, which are, they're soft red seats or soft blue seats that a Republican's in, and continuing to work for your constituents is the way you're going to be able to hold the seats that we have, and then win over some other blue seats to flip the entire state. Obviously, the top 3 seats are going to stay blue, but to get the House and the Senate back would definitely be a little more balanced form of government, I think.
I'm curious about who the Oakland County Republican is. I mean, you have everyone from like Tom Kuhn to Jim Runstedt. I mean, you got this range of classic traditional Chamber of Commerce Republicans to really adamant, devout supporters of President Trump. So who do you see as being the Oakland County Republican?
Well, it's, you know, that's a great question. We have, there's Republicans that are kind of, you know, had their, I shouldn't say head in the sand, but they've been quiet. And they just, they go into the voting booth and they pull the red handle, but they don't make noise. I think that this year with the whole federal side of what's happening with the southern border and the inflation and whatnot, I think more people are becoming vocal. Just at that Trump rally, Brian Pennebaker is a auto workers for Trump. Trump pulled him up on stage and he said that the rank and file of the UAW wants Trump, even though the leadership said they wanted Joe Biden, but the rank and file wants Trump. And I think that it's the little people or the people that are not into politics are finally waking up and realizing, in fact, that they need to be involved. I'd go up to people and I would start talking to them and they go, hey, I don't do politics. I go, well, do you do $5 gas or do you do, you know, the southern border thing? And they're like, oh yeah, I don't like that. I go, then you got to get involved in politics. Politics is different from when I was a kid. I mean, you used to just go in, vote, and then go back to work, go back to school, go up north to your cabin. You got to be involved to make a difference this time. So it's a lot different than it used to be. Seems like that's what everybody talks about. I mean, hey, we're talking about it right now.
How do the Republicans stop their slide in Oakland County, Vance? 10 years ago, Rick Snyder carried Oakland County by 10 points, actually more than 10 points. And 2 years ago, Whitmer won the county by 23 points, a huge swing in 8 years. And a Republican hasn't carried the county in the presidential race since 1992. What do Republicans need to do? It's probably a far-fetched for Trump to carry the county, but obviously, if he did a lot better than he did 4 years ago, it would go a long way toward him winning the state.
That, you know, Zach, that's a great way to put it. I've been preaching lose by less. And people are like, well, what do you mean? Republicans are not going to gain any seats in Ferndale or even Roy Loke is pretty blue. But if you can go into those communities and lose by less, in other words, pick up a couple of votes for Trump, pick up a couple of votes, then Holly, South Lyon, Independence Township, the red areas will be redder by just siphoning off a couple of more votes out of the blue areas. And again, it's door knocking and getting out into the blue areas and recognizing that there are entrenched Republicans. They may not put their Donald Trump sign out, but they're definitely going to pull the red handle. And again, it's about chasing the absentee ballot. Nowadays, everybody's got to watch the absentee ballot because you go to your clerk every day, you check and see who's voted. And it's a great way to campaign because you don't need to send your postcards to the people that have already voted. Or you don't need to waste your time with a phone call or a door knocking. You can totally just run off of the absentee ballots and know where to chase that one more vote, which can get you over the finish line. And the one more vote thing, let me say this real quick. One of our candidates that ran in Mark Gunn that ran for Troy City Council, he won by a handful of votes. So when people are disenfranchised and say, oh, my vote doesn't matter, your vote matters. Literally every single vote counts.
It seems like there's a real pitch from Republican leaders to use this new early voting option that is taking place in Michigan for the first time this year, that it seems like you can pitch it to your voters as this is done through a traditional voting machines. You just go in earlier and not on election day because the Democrats have really boxed out the Republicans on using absentee ballots, coming in to vote early and so forth. But I'm hearing what sounds like a concerted effort this time. Is that correct?
Well, the early voting, it's expensive for the communities. I mean, my vice chair, Terry Nelamafu, just went in and she did an early vote and she went in there. There were nine employees and she was the first vote, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is going to kill the community's budgets for having all these staffers standing around for 1, 3, 5, 10 votes to come in. Now, the absentee ballot is a great option, and we recommend people getting their absentee ballot and filling it out, because if it does snow, if you don't get a babysitter, or if you got to work late that day, there's always something that can happen. So the 9 days of early voting is we probably didn't need to go that far, but the absentee ballot chase is very important, and that is where we should be focusing on, not 9 days of in-person voting. That's ridiculous. It's the staff count, the staff cost is going to kill some of these small communities.
Vance Patrick, chairman for the Oakland County Republican Party, thank you so much for joining us here on Mishmash.
I appreciate you guys calling.
Thanks again to our guest, Vance Patrick. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasman. Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian. Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give and become a member of WDET at wdet.org.